Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yes, a little bit sunny for a change. Anyway, okay, video. So I wanted to talk about the difference between being happy and productive. And that, you know, generally speaking, those two things probably aren't going to be the same. Being useful and beneficial to mankind is usually not going to be a fun job. It's going to be like, you know, going to war or something. You know, you're going to get you're going to experience some unpleasantness, you know, and just a fact. So, you know, it's just a fact of life. And so it's another one of the facts of life that just are kind of irritating, that when people are procreating, what is their expectation? You know, do they really just say, okay, we don't care. I don't care whether my kid's productive or not. I don't care whether it's a benefit to mankind, because more important is that it's happy. And then we know that if you raise a kid that way, you know, trying to keep it happy, that it's probably going to grow up to be an asshole. So, because, you know, you really do have to be humiliated and beat up a bit in your life to have any real appreciation for how everything sort of does have to be earned, and you can't rely on luck alone and all of that kind of crap. And, you know, so it's just unpleasant. That's another one of these truths that the, you know, the procreators just step over, is that it's a real dilemma for what you wish for your prodigy, for them to be a slave to goodness or a predator. You know, and those aren't great choices, but it's usually the only, it's just a fact that if you're not mindful and cautious for good reason, because you've experienced it or you've seen it, and all of that's going to be painful. So all the stuff that does build your character scars your character. And it really gets in your way in terms of saying, I'm just going to be happy in spite of the fact that X, Y, Z happened. You know, it's, you know, my dead sister's birthday soon. And, you know, those little things, just, you know, these life experiences, and they do haunt you, I think appropriately, and all you need is something to remind you of it. Now, the problem is I can't make that video exactly, just because I'm kind of distracted by current events. So this is the week of the plane crashes, and, you know, it's just so irritating that, you know, us as a civilization, humanity as a civilization, really just is, I don't know if you call it duplicity, but it's just so insincere and broken in terms of how we define tragedy and horror and all of that stuff, and how we pay attention to it. So, as usual, you know, when there's a plane crash, everybody gets to know exactly who died and what their life was and what their tragedy is. And every day, you know, 120 people die in car crashes, and then a bunch more, you know, aren't killed. They're paralyzed and, you know, scarred for life in some physical way, disabled, whatnot. So the number's even higher, and nobody cares. So a plane crashes, 60 people, yeah, everybody cares. 120 people die all over the country, you know, they you know, they fell from the sky, so to speak, you know, in different places, and because it didn't happen in one place, they don't count much, you know. And then you're going to take that a step further and recognize that probably we all should pay attention to, you know, little tragic stories of people who die in other ways, you know, besides car crashes. And we don't notice any of that. So you could probably get the number up to 500 a day that are worth recognizing, in terms of, you know, they weren't 90 years old. and in a nursing home for the last 5 years, and so there's no tragedy to the death, so to speak. But there's lots of other deaths that are kind of tragic, and no social attention is required to be paid. All right, so that's imbecilic to me. Okay, it's just obviously all this attention is just so misplaced, and all of these tears are wept, and it's, you know, it's frankly misdirected. Then the other thing that happened was there's a second plane crash where, in a way, it's much worse because all of the victims aren't going to die instantly. They're going to die over a period of time because, you know, they got burned and all kinds of horrible things happened to them, no doubt. And but we don't really know at this point. So it's almost 24 hours after the Philadelphia plane crash. And all we know is, okay, obviously the people on the plane are dead. But we have nothing about anybody on the ground. And it's just it's amazing, you know, how dysfunctional. And so this is getting to a little bit of political crap about how, gee, these are really such shitty choices. We either have these silly liberals, the mayor of Philadelphia, she's the prayer mayor. So that was her solution, pray. But she wouldn't even, provide any information regarding fatalities on the ground because she wanted to make sure she has the correct information, all this kind of horse shit. It's like, you just need to give people some kind of idea. Do you have at least 10 bodies in the morgue? How many do you have? You must have something. You must have some idea of a rough number of how many people got sent to the hospital, something. And to give nothing is just kind of ridiculous. But anyway, it just seems like you really don't understand the nature of your job, which is to make it understood what the nature of the disaster, the depth of it. And then the conflict, the other one is the Trump bullshit where, he makes a statement on the plane crash and spends 5 minutes ragging on old Obama news. Which, if you're going to go back that far, then why don't you just talk about Ronald Reagan fired all the air traffic controllers? So he wasn't too worried about the best and the brightest or any of that crap. He wanted the cheapest, simply put. It just kind of illustrates the weird switching of roles, where the Republicans are doing what the bad Democrats did 50 years or 40 years ago or 30 years ago, and the Democrats are doing what bad Republicans did. It's just so crazy. Democrats for importing poor people. Why? The very idea that they think this is a reasonable political stance in America is to say, let's import welfare whores. I mean, that's what it comes down to, criminals and welfare whores. It's just a fact that basically you're importing people who can't make it in their own country, so they're going to come here, and they don't have any, they're not bringing any big toolkit with them. I'm a real good pro at something. No, most of them are just looking for something to graft. A high percentage, let's just say. All right, and the rest and the woman's, the family side is just this idea of getting them into America so they can get a big pile of publicly financed health care. And why should anybody say, oh, great? I mean, especially in the context where we don't even take care of the mentally ill and the homeless in this country. I mean, we already have people who were born here, all right, who pretty much die on the streets. So we clearly don't have any, there's no evidence that we have all of this capacity to take in a bunch of new refugees. It's just kind of ridiculous. But the very fact that Democrats think this is, they're going to win with this rhetoric that, let's import slave labor. And that's their winning strategy. And it's like, win how? It just amazes you. All right. And, but then, like I said, the other extreme is, you know, this moron Trump just sits there and starts blaming all kinds of extraneous subjects, like somehow, you know, because they have a very subtle affirmative action. I mean, it's not like it's a draconian affirmative action. It's just this subtle idea that if you have two candidates, find the one that needs the job the most. Find the one most likely to have been discriminated by commercial industry, the one who has a harder time getting employed if they both have equal skills. Well, that doesn't sound all that horrible. You know, so why not? You know, and they can't even concede, you know, they're talking like as if they just said, doesn't matter, you don't have to pass the test, you don't have to do this, you don't have, and that's just bullshit. That isn't the standard. It's not the law. You know, if you want to argue they're not implementing the law correctly, but to even make this statement when he doesn't even know who the air traffic controller was. So now if he's a white guy, then we can say white people are incompetent. I mean, it's just setting everybody up for a pointless argument. All right, and then there's the tariff thing. I mean, tariffs made sense when we were paying auto workers $35 an hour. Then it made sense because you're preserving a nice high wage. But to have tariffs so we can exploit people in our own country instead of exploiting them somewhere else, well, that doesn't make any sense. So if we're just going to pay crap wages, then why do we need the industry here? And then we know that what comes with it. So if we don't import the products, then that means we have to build the manufacturing here, and that means you have to deal with all the pollution again. And what, are you going to go back to, you know, a filthy Lake Erie and a bunch of love canals and whatever else is you're going to get for that? So a lot of it is just so stupid. And why should I think it's okay if we, you know, somehow I want to starve Canadians? Why do I want to do that? It's somehow better to starve Canadians than it is to starve Americans? I mean, what sense does any of that kind of crap make in terms of, you know, equality in terms of your civilization? The Canadians aren't ripping us off in the sense that, you know, they're ripping us off in the sense that we're providing a lot of military security that they're benefiting from. But whose choice was that, too? You know, wasn't a half, you have to spend $500 billion a year on the military. No one said you had to do that. But anyway, but selling lumber and oil and other stuff, they're supposed to, what, give us a discount? You know, they're supposed to lose money. And we're going to do the same for them. Like, we'll lose money to, you know, bullshit. So, you know, you're just like, God damn. The world has gotten so stupid and ugly. And there's no, you know, what are you going to do with this? There's no, I don't see a place for a me in this political atmosphere, you know, because I can't, you know, there's got to be a some kind of Ross Perot or somebody has to show up. Some third party thing has to do, there has to be somebody with a brain somewhere. So, I mean, I'm not going into all this, the silly appointments to the, you know, these people going to be running our government, and they're morons. It's just terrible. But anyway, so let's see if the tariffs happen. But, I mean, why would you even, I mean, just to initiate the tactic is so dangerous. Because it just creates a bunch of animosity and a bunch of suspicion. And so now everybody's going to be calculating. And that's not going to do anybody any good. If every business has to be thinking ahead and saying, well, what if, you know, what if, then, yeah, you know, a lot of things, it's going to change behavior, and it's not going to change it in some productive way, in the sense they're not going to invest in either country. You know, you're just going to make it even harder to get the things that need to be invested in. But anyway, so a little bit of commentary. It's just that everything's so bad. It's like, and you can't really, I mean, every subject's a little deeper, you know, than, you know, what you can just say in a few words, you know, especially about every policy decision you could make. But it's gotten so cheap and tacky in terms of the rhetoric being thrown at people. It's just, you know, I mean, Musk with the Heil Hitler thing, he somehow doesn't know that this isn't what you do. He doesn't know that. You know, of course he knows that. You know, and then the whole, you know, his South African connection. I mean, that this is all so ugly. You know, and then Trump talking about pretty much just saying, I just want white people, you know, landing airplanes. I mean, it was just pretty much that's what he's saying. Just really gross. Anyway. Yeah, no, it's not good. And then the other, like I said, the opposite side wants to defend any kind of cultural degradation as somehow some sort of thing to applaud, you know. No, it isn't. Cultures suck. They're really, culture's garbage. What you want is people to have certain manners and certain behaviors that are standardized, and you have certain expectations that they kind of understand not to, you know, spit in somebody else's face, you know, or shit in their lawn, you know. I mean, it's really not that complicated. All right, so back to the real subject, I guess. Take a pause. All right, back. So I have already previously, last week, like, talked a lot about, you know, the fact that every event has all these implications. And so for all these tragedies, there's always probably some people who benefit every time somebody's killed in a horrible way. It means that somebody else is going to marry who they would have married, and somebody else is going to get a trophy that they would have gotten, or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And so other people's lives are going to get elevated. They're going to profit from the adventure. And it's hard to say whether, you know, on a whole, something isn't, although it looks in the short term tragic, that in the long term it's beneficial. And so that's the trick of a lot of policy, is that it might look really bad for the short term, 10 years, but it might be really great over 100 years. So you could argue that some of the choices we've made about the whole global warming thing, in terms of saying the hell with worrying about it, you know, it might be one of those things where, you know, you might benefit the first 10 years and then you'll really pay for it in the next 90. But anyway, but that's all another subject where even the details of what causes it is kind of complicated. And the more I look at the physics, the more I think it doesn't have much to do with carbon dioxide. It has to do with heat itself. And every time you choose a way of making electricity that creates heat, okay, like a nuclear power plant seems greener, okay, because it doesn't make CO2, but it makes a lot of hot water. And that part means it puts a lot of moisture into the air, and that's not good, because humidity is a much more powerful greenhouse mechanism than carbon dioxide. So it might just be the creation of heat itself that has changed the dynamic, because we're just making more heat without the carbon dioxide. Wouldn't have mattered. You know, just because every time we burn a fossil fuel or some other thing, there's a whole bunch of waste heat. And even the heat itself, like I said, just doing it, just heating our houses and all that kind of stuff is obviously a bunch of extra thermal energy in the system. So anyway, sidetrack, sorry. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to focus an argument where, again, you're arguing for, okay, the fact that people just don't look at this long-term thing, they don't look at the fact that, you know, everything has all of these implications. And like I just said, I mean, there's 120 people every day die in a car crash. And if we all had to pay attention to that, if it was called a plane crash instead of a car crash, and we just thought of it as being 120 people whose lives were brutally ended, you know, then every day would be kind of tragic, and we'd have more appreciation for the price paid for our existence. And like I said, and if you start adding all the kids that die of cancer today and all the other crap that happens to kids, how many were paralyzed today, all of that kind of crap, it'd be hard to have a real optimistic feeling. You know, people would be a lot more pessimistic if that was droned into them every day. The argument is what is that, pessimism, or is that the truth? And you know, that people should be a little cautious about being aggressive in living, because there is a lot of downside risk. There's a lot at stake. So I guess that's part of what I'm getting to. So it's, again, this modern mystic, okay? It's like they made a video the other day, and I couldn't even watch it. It was getting so, again, this idea that somehow we don't have to consider the implications of what's happening to the entire biosphere. Like, there's a bunch of brains manifesting feelings, and it doesn't matter what they feel, you know, and the only thing that does matter is what they feel. That's the only thing that's at stake. And the definition of your life as being good is the only real definition, the only one, you know, like Santa Claus or God, you know, has a list, and who's on the naughty or nice, you can't tell. Because you can't tell what all the implications are of everything you've done. I mean, even if you murdered somebody, maybe the world needed that asshole to be killed, you know, because they were in the way. Even if they were a do-gooder, they were doing good in the wrong way, and they were creating policy that was going to ruin everything, blah, 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 kind of thing. So, I mean, everything can be understood to be complicated. In terms of, we have no crystal ball. I mean, it's so foggy, and just there's nothing. We can't really see the real impact of anything. And that's a powerful reason, even if you just vaguely understand that torture is bad, just recognizing that playing a game where you're going to experience perhaps very great discomfort and unpleasantness, to play it without tools to defend yourself, you know, to actually have a way of being careful, you know, no safety belts to wear, no airbags to buy, you know, no ability whatsoever to protect yourself from the harm, because it's built into so many variables that there's no way to see it coming. You know, that would, I think, there'd be a lot of people who could be more reasonable in their aggressive pro-life stance if they were more aware of that. But again, okay, the argument is that intelligent people are already cautious. And, you know, even when there's substantial incentives provided to have kids, in the sense that there's a great deal of subsidies, they still won't do it, because they know of all of these gnarly dangers, and especially in relationships, even if they're not secure in their relationship, they know the kid could be a huge liability in the sense that they don't even get to see it, they got to pay for it, all kinds of stuff like that. Most people, I mean, it's just a fact that, yeah, you know, most high school graduates have less kids. Okay, the higher your education, the less kids you're going to have. And the better job, the less kids. And it's only the eccentric, silly billionaires who have 10 kids. People in the normal wage scale, you know, not the top 5% can be reckless assholes, but the rest of the whatever 50% who are making a decent living have an appreciation for keeping that standard and maintaining their standard of life, and are less willing to, you know, piss it away on some notion that having kids is going to be fun and profitable, you know, when it's more likely to be not very much fun and a huge drain on your life resources. Anyway, so I mean, you know, it is just this, you know, whatever, the 10%, 15% of the population that's just as dumb as sticks, prayer mayors and whatnot, asshole religious kooks and whatnot, silly people, frankly. I mean, it's just silly. I mean, they're so ignorant, they're silly. And those are the people having the kids. So, it's a subject we've, in a sense, I've already won the subject, right? Because I caused all that. No, I didn't need to do anything. Reality seeps in. You know, people get a sniff of it. And, you know, they smell the bullshit of Rockwellian nonsense about how everything's going to be just fine. And I think they see enough of the not just fine to be kind of paranoid and afraid. And I would guess I'm just arguing that we could make more people afraid, okay, if we just quit letting people hype nonsense and bullshit. And the media is just selling people what they want to hear. They're selling to stupid people, right? So it's all financed by how you can sell product. And so that's another, you know, to get into a political subject. I mean, it's about the worst way you can possibly finance your meme engine or your social populist conversations based on what morons will buy. So if you're talking to people who aren't going to buy a car because a frog on TV told them to buy the car, then you're not going to make content for those people. So you're only going to be making content for the people who are going to consume the commercial mechanism, to be seduced by it, suckered by it. Some dopey commercial will sell them a product. And obviously it works. Companies wouldn't spend the money if it didn't work. And obviously you can see from the moronic character of the commercials, that is it's just... They might as well just get in a Barney the Dinosaur suit, you know, and tell you to buy. Buy, buy, buy. And that's it. There's no real information about why the product's better or any of that crap. It's all about some kind of showy nonsense. You know, they spin it around or something, and, you know, the morons go, woo, it's spinning. That kind of thing. And so, yeah, so all, you know, we have... The media controlled essentially by the dumbest people in the country, because they're the only people that are going to be, they're the only people financing it, frankly. I mean, smart people just aren't driven by commercial advertising. Just doesn't work. Doesn't change them. Doesn't provoke a behavior, So there's just another huge liability in the conversation that, you know, people can't have real conversations because the morons don't want real conversations. They want to hear happy stories about, happy, silly people who just tell them, we're going to fix it, and they don't ever fix anything. We're going to do something about it, and they're not going to do anything about it. That kind of crap. So that's, one of the parts of this whole, the psychology of the civilization is being brainwashing itself by allowing morons to do all the memeing, to do all the musing and the stiff upper lip and, pull up your bootstraps and, all that kind of horse shit. I don't know of what value it is to talk about it beyond the fact that, part of my job is to try to have a conversation with people smart enough to have a conversation. That is, they're interested enough to listen to the words you're saying and to persuade them that they have to really hate ignorance. They have to get to a point where they're going to actually do something about reckless, stupid morons. And especially when they've given reckless, stupid morons the power to control their civilization, that's really bad, So you can get into whole ideas about political voting schemes and the idea that, you shouldn't discriminate against people based on their color of their skin, okay, content of their character. So the fact that it might be worthwhile to have a content of your character contest when it comes to voting or giving people voting privilege of greater and smaller amounts based on their character, how much they have invested in their own utility, in their education, and in their functionality, and how many rules they haven't broken in their life. And you probably should pay for your speeding tickets because that's sort of a crime against all of us. All those little crimes add up to a degraded and poorer life for everyone. And so all of our offenses should mean something. Obviously, a lot of stuff can't be, again, the idea is maybe we should invest a few billion dollars in actually creating a lie detector test that works. Some way to probe people's character, and save ourselves a lot of trouble and get all these insincere lying scum out of the positions of power that they hold by finding out what their true motivations are, what they're really doing. As they're pretending to be public servants or give a shitters about the welfare of anybody else but themselves, kind of a thing. Okay, so take another break and see if I can. Anyway, it's a video. Okay, I am distracted by just how bizarre everything is. There's just stupid. It's just everywhere. I've never felt like I lived in as dumb a world as it seems now. At this very moment, it seems really stupid. Everyone seems really stupid. All right. So back. speaking of honesty, right? So, part of what people do, I think, is this idea of people being alive, right? They think life is, their life is meaningful and something worth doing, okay? Because they're caught up in the narrative of their life. And they're, I guess, not quite smart enough to figure out that the narrative of the people around them isn't exactly the same storytelling. They have their own way of they exist in some substantially different way, but because they're related and they think of them as being somehow connected, even though there's very little connecting them. And certainly the further out they get, the further away they get from being them, you know, even the racial changes too, the more, it's not so much. So I think it would just be a statistical fact that if you, you know, if you're doing some campaigning for something and the poster child has to be something that looks like what people have empathy with in some instinctive, visceral way. So it has to look like one of them. And anything that's further away, the further more distant it is from being one of them, the less they're going to say, okay, yeah, they definitely need to exist. So I've sort of made this argument, you know, if there were Martians, I think we would find them annoying rather than at all useful. I think most people, if you did, in fact, have the capacity to just erase the existence of Norwegians or something, they wouldn't mind, you know, they wouldn't sense any horror. So, I mean, the truth is that it's not about life being a good idea in terms of creating it or injecting it in other places and that somehow it needs to exist there. You know, if there wasn't people living in Africa, that somehow my life would be diminished in some way. And you're saying, well, I can't figure out exactly how that way would be. Sounds like a bullshit. If Hawaii didn't exist, you know, Hawaii just never existed, it'd be some great tragedy. Not really. Not one that I could measure in any way, as a reality. So that's another part of the fact that just people just aren't honest, that it's not about, humans existing. It's not about humanity. It's about their small little definition of humanity. And I think you'd really see that if we actually ever did send people to Mars to colonize or something, I think there'd be a great deal of argument about who you send. What's going to be the racial profile of whatever you're going to be sending to Mars? And whether people would invest in it. So again, what people you put on the poster is going to have a lot to do with how many people are going to say, oh yeah, I'm for it, and, here's my $10, that kind of thing. So again, I think much of the argument is just bullshit. People aren't really recognizing. They're just thinking about what's in their own interest. They're thinking about their own happiness. And, I'd also argue that this is sort of the female problem where women in some of the underdeveloped countries, clearly men are driving procreation because of family names and stature and all that kind of stuff. But in a lot of other countries, it's women who maintain some notion that this having kids thing is a really important thing and they got to do this. They play up this biological clock nonsense and whatnot. And I think it's just a fact that women like playing with kids more, maybe. I don't know. They're just because of maybe, see, now that they're higher educated, I just don't think they would fall into this housewife kind of mode and find that satisfying. So I think that is something that's changing, that role playing. But again, it's not changing in the population where it matters, and that is in the third world, in the undereducated. And so it doesn't mean much for me to talk about the people who aren't really a threat already, and how they're going to become less and less of a threat. It sort of is just propaganda and a lie that this is some sort of perfect life, monitoring the maturation of children. yeah. So I guess it's just cutting through the bullshit and having the tools to be able to do that, or the rhetoric, the slogans, or some other kind of crap. And, you know, that's part of what all these videos are pointing me at. And, you know, I'm doing what I can to process it and come up with some kind of way of stating the argument where, you know, you can get to the little kernel of honesty inside of somebody and get them to quit talking like a Red Sox fan, and, you know, get them to be a little bit honest about the nature of their own team and then the nature of the sport itself, and recognize that it's all bullshit. It's all has to do with their own personal attachments. It doesn't have anything to do with anything that has any real integrity. Their sport isn't the better sport, and their heroes aren't the better heroes, and all that kind of crap. It's all just guilty association. It's corruption, you know, by, I guess association. So the more the more you are connected to it, the longer you interact with it, the more it gets to be part of you. So you could almost argue it's like having a pet. It doesn't take long, before that familiarity makes you incapable of just seeing it as any dog or any cat. And that also happens with people's attachments to the institutions that give them some sort of visceral, vicarious enjoyment. Yeah, I guess that's a way of saying it. You end up with a favorite movie star or porn star or whatever, and it's not a perfectly rational choice, and it's really a lot of circumstantial. If you would have chosen on a Thursday, you would have chose somebody different than if you chose on a Tuesday. Kind of crap. And such. So, so it's that, you know, having some sort of confined to some kind of real definition of our circumstance. Again, so you can't have any of these conversations with people who are just belligerently religious, and they're afraid to even say the words that, well, I'm open to a conversation about what it means to be alive if there is no God. Because they're afraid, they're superstitious, and they think they're going to get punished for allowing doubt and a lack of confidence to enter, you know, a lack of faith to enter their psyche at all. That somehow they have now jeopardized their welfare, in the eyes of their loving Lord, which is kind of ironic. I mean, the whole Christian religion is so moronic in the sense that it's, you know, this whole idea that the crime was the fact that Adam or Eve would be intrigued by knowledge, and that, oh, what a horrible crime, you know, how dare they, it's just God, how can people fall for this crap? I mean, you know, it's just catch 22 all the way around. Try one more shot at this and such. All right, so the Life of Brian movie came to mind, Monty Python, for lots of reasons. I thought of, just the different subjects that get to be, you know, so overdone and overcooked. So I was thinking about the whole trans thing and, like, you know, okay, I lack a certain amount of empathy in the sense that I always hated men dressing as drag, like the Milton Berle thing. That was in my youth. That's what men would do. And it wasn't like they wanted to be women, but it was just such a poor portrayal of a woman. And, it was just perverted, frankly. It just didn't... It was just fucking weird. I mean, I just had no instinct to say this is something I would do, or I felt any need to do was dress up like a girl. It just, I mean, I was a happy penis owner. I just had no, I had no interest in being a girl or experiencing being a girl, or I didn't see any advantage to living as a girl. Just nothing about it appealed to me at all. I certainly, appreciate people are troubled by their own incapacity to find gratification in the circumstances they exist in. And, they have to, unfortunately, people resort to drugs and all kinds of stuff to try to, fix the fact that they're not fitting in as constructed. I don't like getting old, so I suppose if I could, if you had to lose half your money or something, or I don't know how much I'd pay, but I'd probably pay a pretty good price to be 30 years old again. So I understand those sensations and feelings, and I understand the frustration that somebody must feel for their whole life and all of that crap, and it's so all of that's fine. I'm just saying, I don't have any problem with that. It's the glorification of it or something, like somehow this is something everybody should be concerned about and everybody has to comply. And then again, when they push it a little too far, where now they got a right to own a girl's bathroom, that's a little dicey, frankly. The way to fix it is just not have public restrooms, just make them all private, like in an airplane or something. That problem that you still have to, men are disgusting. They drill holes in the wall, they do all kinds of shit. And they leave all kinds of shit in the toilets and stuff. I mean, it's really, I don't get that. I really just don't get it. It's like the trolls on the internet. There's lots of things I don't get. I just can't imagine somebody leaving a bathroom in some kind of disgusting manner. It's just so, why the fuck would you do that? It's incomprehensible. The graffiti and all, none of that shit ever made any sense at all to me. So, where was my point? I was going Life of Brian. it's just this great portrayal of how futile and silly existence is. But in the end, they can't just end it with, well, maybe you should just kill yourself. Even though they already displayed killing yourself as futile, in the sense that the crack suicide squad was totally ineffective in fixing anything. So it's a good example to show that, killing yourself solves your problem, but it ain't going to solve the next sucker's problem. You're not being very productive. The end of the movie with the song that has nice words in it, life's a piece of shit when you look at it. And, so it's got some good themes. But again, it's this whole idea of, we have to fix it because we can't just wallow in the fact that we're living futile, ugly, stupid, moronic existences with a bunch of assholes. And that's sort of what the movie's saying is, they're all assholes. Everybody's a fucking asshole. The reason why I thought of Monty Python connected to the drag thing is because they did the drag thing, but it didn't bother me because their portrayal was always of some harpy housewife kind of thing. It's like they weren't trying to be a woman at all. They were just trying to illustrate how dim and stupid housewives were, which I found very appealing. Because, they deserve ridicule. Lots of it. Too bad they didn't do pregnant women. Be even better. So anyway, back to the life of Brian, and the ending of the movie is this, you know, hanging on the cross and singing your little happy song and pretending it's all okay somehow. So it's ludicrous and crazy and silly and stupid, but we're supposed to just whistle it away. And so that was kind of disappointing, but I know there's no other way to end it. You know, there's no way to just end it with, yes, we made fun of stuff. It's, you know, it's a lot of humor, but life really does suck, and it's just a fact. And, you know, it's brutal and nasty and harsh. And, you know, we're all sitting here saying, well, how are they going to kill me? And, I mean, that's you know, it's what I'm doing now. You know, is it, I can't help it entering my mind more often, you know, way too frequently, let's just say, for my comfort, about being very concerned about having to deal with the fact that what if, about all this stuff that can come to kill me, and how I have to be able to manage that because I don't want to die too horribly. And who needs this shit? You know. You know. It's just this struggle, and then they really get a hold of you and get the noose around your neck, and yeah. And people want to impose this on other people. They want to take the risk of, you know, creating a being that's just going to have to struggle and fight through an existence to be, you know, once they have enough knowledge to do their life gracefully, you know, they're going to get killed. Yeah, horribly. And this is a good story. Yeah. This is a gift. Yeah, I don't think so. All right. So, maybe one more try. All right, so I thought of one more part of the Monty Python movie, Life of Brian. If you haven't seen it, you really have to. It's kind of miraculous in terms of, it's got so much in it. So there's a part in it where they're, you know, it's about the Rome and Jesus and all that kind of stuff. But it has this part where, you know, it's like, you know, they have declared Rome the enemy, and yet there's this argument that Rome has brought roads and sanitation and, you know, a real quality of life enhancement. And so as much as it might be onerous, you know, it has a whole infrastructure that has every smell of being to your benefit. And so that's sort of what I was talking about before in terms of this idea of knowing what's productive and being able to live a good life because you can make these choices. And that's what's so difficult, is that the truth is subtle and complicated and nuanced. And, you know, you have to spend quite a bit of time thinking about implications, and they always have to be forward thinking, you know, in terms of the future is bigger than the present. And, you know, that's the real context. So that just reminds me of the, you know, I heard that the Japanese are spending a ton of money to, you know, make everything earthquake proof. And, you know, and it's just, yeah, I mean, you know, those kind of decisions are so hard to make, you know, the short term pain for the long term gain. And too often human beings are just not willing to do that, and civilizations aren't willing to do that, to invest in some forward plan now. So I could argue that it's just kind of a fact that you can't have kids raised in slums because they've got a high probability of being kind of slummy. And so you really have to do something about it. You know, you have to make sure that the recklessness of the parents' behavior isn't going to be the controlling factor, and that there's going to be something in the institutions that are actually going to fix that. And but they don't really create any of that, because the infrastructure ends up just placating the bad behavior rather than creating some sense of being part of a community and making your contribution to it, rather than just picking up your welfare. And, you know, so anyway, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the baby got to draw a line somewhere and say, you know, you're not going to let, you're just going to prevent the vulnerability and prevent the possibility of creating psycho killers and thugs and assholes. It doesn't seem like it should be that difficult. I mean, I really don't think that a kid, you know, raised in some atmosphere where they understand that, you know, being a piece of garbage, you know, being a destructive virus, you know, causing pain and suffering is not a good thing to be, because they have some sense, you know, of not being one of God's children, but being, you know, a member of the human race and an example of something that was actually paid for. You know, you're a very expensive machine, and you really have an obligation, you know, considering all the people that, you know, died in wars and all the people that have suffered in horrible ways, to give you this opportunity to be alive at this time in history. And you're going to squander it, you know, stealing cars or some other kind of bullshit. You're going to insult all of that to, you know, somehow make rationalizations and excuses for being a social blight. Yeah, come on. I just don't think it would be possible if a kid hears the word social blight and is given a little information about what it is to be a piece of social blight, you know, that they would end up not finding that sense of, I mean, kids know what fair is, you know, they know what, you know, a fair fight is, they know all that kind of crap. And you know, I think they need to experience that sense of humiliation and embarrassment if they are failing to measure up in those simple ways. Something like that, anyway. All right. So maybe that's enough. Yeah. Another video I kind of struggled with. And again, it's just, maybe it's just the timing. A lot of bullshit to take care of and things on my mind and all that kind of, a lot of distractions. And just a particularly weird few days, frankly, in interacting on Earth. Just watching this, you know, the human spectacle. And it wasn't much of a show, frankly. So, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.